The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Hello, this is Aniko Gal from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the May 2015 issue of BuzzFeed Online, the 2017 April issue of Glamour Magazine, the 2017 March issue of 17 Magazine, and from onthisday.com. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. Well, hello everyone. Last time we read a little bit from this novel, Not If I See You First, by Erik Lindstrom. And I am hoping that I have given you enough of a taste of this novel that you might be able to find it and listen to it yourself. We are not going to continue the reading of this chapter by chapter unless you want to call in and let me know that you really, really, really want me to read it, which I would be more than happy to do. But I think we'll leave this to every individual person to decide on his or her own terms whether they want to continue listening to this or not. Today, however, I have a really neat interview/essay from BuzzFeed. It is called This Is How You Do Your Makeup When You're Blind. It is about a young woman. She's 19, I believe. Her name is Lucy Edwards. And she has made, and she is blind, and she has made a YouTube beauty blog and a video on how to put on makeup, and it's really cool. She is from Birmingham, England. And, well, we'll begin right now. It is called This Is How You Do Your Makeup When You're Blind. And it is by Alibe Malone. And she's a BuzzFeed staff reporter from the UK. And this was posted online May 11th, 2016. All right. It starts here. Quote, I only went blind about 2 years ago, Edwards told BuzzFeed Life. When I was 11, I became partially sighted due to a rare disorder. It's in the female line of my genetics, but my mom and grandma don't have it. To cut a long story short, I've been going to an eye hospital since I was 11. Edwards lost sight in her right eye when she was 11, then in her left eye when she was 17. Right in the middle of, quote, my A-levels, so I've had to retake the year. I wanted to stay positive, which is why I'm on YouTube, really, end quote. Her sister Alice worked with her to create a makeup routine that didn't require a mirror. The process wasn't straightforward, Edwards said. It took about a year for her to be comfortable doing her makeup by herself. Quote, at points I've been like, I don't want to do this anymore, because it's been so frustrating, she said. Like when I've done my eyeliner, and Alice has said, it's heavier than you would have liked when you were sighted. And I'm like, how do you know? But, she's quoted to say, but I have to calm down and trust people. That's a factor when you go blind. You have to put your trust in people a lot more with the way you look. Quote, I have my basic routine that I do now when I'm in college. If I feel like I'm having a more spotty day, then I add concealer. If I want to contour, I could do that. My sister has taught me to go over my contouring with a powder on the top. I've got steps in place that make sure that I've done it right. And I do go very slowly because I don't have a mirror, end quote. So if you're wondering how she manages to keep her brows on point, here's the secret. Quote, I have my brows threaded every month, and also, because they're a little sparse on my right-hand side, I use an Urban Decay brow box. She's continued to say, I tend to use shadows on my brows with a brush. With a pencil, you can easily slip with it. And if you follow the line of your eyebrow with gentle brush movements, it makes you look more like there's hair there where it's sparse. Having bright red hair, I don't want my brows to look really dark brown. Then I have a clear brow gel to just set them in place. End quote. There are tips and tricks for doing your makeup when blind, she said. In her video, Edwards recommends getting tactile with your concealer. Quote, I feel for blemishes with my hands and then use the applicator to find the blemish. End quote. And she finds lipstick tricky. Quote, being blind, lipstick is really hard as you have to follow your lip line. Personally, I like lip glosses more than lipstick. But I do have a selection of lipsticks that I use. Barry M. Genie lipstick looks green, but once it goes on your lips, it changes color. End quote. The main thing, invest in good brushes, she says. I swear by real techniques. That's a type of brush. Purely because they're affordable and the hair on the brushes is movable. They move your blush around your face, which means you avoid harsh lines. Plus, their Beauty Blender sponge, I couldn't get up in the morning without it. I don't like brushes for your foundation because it won't move around your face. You need some moisture in there to get the sponge all around your face. And get to know the products that work for you. With mascara, I'd go for a smaller brush. You get so many smudges with fat brush. Some brushes are just massive. The smallest mascara brush possible is best for being blind. It's easier to maneuver. The best one for that is L'Oreal Miss Manga, M-A-N-G-A. In terms of eyeshadow, the Naked palette is the best, as there's not a lot of fallout. You don't have to worry about smudges or product falling out onto the rest of your face. MUA eyeshadow is only £1 in England and is also really great. I use it every day. Another thing that I always use is Sleek's Contour Kit. I love it so much. I was quite daunted by it. I said to my sister, are you sure? But it's the next step in my makeup journey, if you like. I feel quite confident now in doing quite a dramatic contour. Edward's interest in makeup grew after losing her sight. Because I can't see myself in the mirror, she says, I feel the necessity of doing my face more. Because I'm making myself pretty, it makes me feel better about myself on the inside. I know the media has a lot of rubbish about whether you need makeup and so on. I don't think I need it especially, excuse me, but it's just a thing that makes me feel good about myself. It makes me feel like I'm in control. And that's the thing about being blind, she says. You're very dependent on other people. And makeup for me, personally, means that I don't have to ask anyone about how my face looks anymore. Because I know I've put my foundation on a certain way, and I've built up my routine, so I know my cleansing routine and all that. I know that my face looks good without looking in the mirror. So I don't have to ask someone, do I look good today? Because I know that I do. And she's excited to be a resource for people facing the same issues as her. The YouTube community for blind beauty bloggers is small, she said. When I was plunged into blindness, There were no resources for this kind of thing, beauty. And it took me hours and hours to learn how to do my makeup. Personally, I didn't have non-sighted friends. I was in a world full of sighted people, and in my head, I was like, I want to be sighted. And because of that, I felt lonely. Nobody really truly understands you. I mean, people try to, but it's not the same. But I've met people online who I can talk to and get support from, and we can all be a network together. Nobody is the definition of, quote, normal, but makes you happy with people around you who you know are experiencing similar things to you. And that was that story. All right. Our next story is entitled, He Saved My Life. And it's from the April edition of Glamour Magazine, April 2017. He saved my life. When Amy Dixon learned she was going blind, it sounded like a death sentence. But her guide dog, Elvis, helped her see the possibilities. I was diagnosed with a rare type of autoimmune eye disease almost 20 years ago. Doctors told me that while treatment could slow the process, eventually I'd go blind. At the time, that just sounded like a death sentence. I'm not a religious person, but I think someone was watching over me the day I got my guide dog 8 years ago. I had met Elvis on a tour of his training kennel and remembered him out of 175 dogs there. So when he was assigned to me months later, I was in tears. He was meant to be my dog. It was hard to feel sorry for myself through my 19 surgeries when he was next to me, licking my hand or putting his paw in my lap for comfort. He saved my life multiple ways. When I went through chemotherapy and felt depressed, Elvis got me back out into the world. He was a buffer. People saw me as someone with a big, goofy dog rather than someone with a disability, which helped me return to work and date again. Once he pushed me back into a train as I was trying to get off because it had stopped short and my door was over a bridge. He's had a couple of amazing saves. He helped me get better at navigating the world, and I even became a triathlete. I swim, and Elvis always knew when I was finishing my final lap. He'd come over to congratulate me. He's been with me through it all until last year, when I had to retire him. Elvis's body was starting to fail him, so I had to take care of him the way he took care of me. Now he lives with my mom. I miss him. But he deserves a long, happy life, not worrying about pulling a harness. He taught me nothing in life is accomplished by yourself. It takes a team. And this was as told to Alana Lauren Greco. Again, Glamour, April 2017. Well, right now I've got a recipe for you. We started some recipes a couple of weeks back, and I just thought we would continue with one more. This is for an avocado and mango salad. Sounds absolutely delicious to me. The combination of rich, buttery avocado and sweet, tart mango is dazzling. It costs about $8 to make. And this is from the March edition, March 2017 edition of Glamour. You take two ripe avocados, peeled and cubed or sliced, two ripe mangoes, peeled and cubed or sliced, a quarter fresh lime, squeezed, and a quarter teaspoon kosher salt. Place the avocados and mangoes in a bowl, drizzle with lime juice, sprinkle with salt, and enjoy. All right, we have another article from the April 2017 edition of Glamour. And this is called Imperfection is Where It's At. My grandmother taught me that you could take a mess and turn it into creativity and beauty. She was a painter and also a housewife with 6 kids. I remember when I was young, I wore this pink dress that I was very proud of, and I dropped a chocolate donut in my lap. I was crying and just devastated. My grandmother took me down to the basement where she kept her paints and began to paint around the chocolate stain, turning it into this elaborate floral design. Something about that hit me. I thought, oh, you can turn imperfection and a mistake into the most beautiful thing. I ended up loving that dress more because of the mistake. I still think of beauty that way. What's usually considered the flaw is often the loveliest part. I was at the dentist recently, and one of the people there was like, oh, you have a pretty crooked tooth. Do you want to fix that with Invisalign? I was like, what I love most about my face is that crooked tooth. So, no, I don't. I try to be comfortable in my own skin on any given day and to not let language and images become a prison. When I noticed that hashtag no makeup started trending, I thought that was cool. But it's funny how the moment something becomes a trend, it in and of itself can become oppressive. Oh, now this is the new way to be beautiful. Before it was this one extreme, and now it's this other extreme, and language matters. I was in the store the other day looking for lotions, and one of them said, quote, age corrective, end quote. And I thought, does age need to be corrected? Couldn't we just call this dope moisturizer? As a woman, I feel as if the language system is looking to shame you into buying more stuff to make yourself feel better. I'm always trying to unplug from that and get to the place where you're at a nightclub. It's 3 a.m. and you're dancing and you feel alive and you are sure you are the most beautiful being and there are no mirrors. That confirmation comes from inside. I try to never lose sight of that, and I believe we're in a time and place where if women can continue writing and creating outside of the box, we can depict ourselves beyond the obvious traditional roles. It's amazing to be able to create a part for an actress like Phyllis Smith of my Netflix show, The OA, who plays a 50-something Algebra 1 public school teacher who's a divorcee with no children. That kind of woman is often passed by, and we don't think anything of her interior life. And it's amazing to write something where you say, quote, oh no, pay attention to the Algebra 1 teacher, end quote. The OA fundamentally is a story about not being afraid of our brokenness. It's really great to use that idea that we don't need to cover it all up to be able to sit in the flaw. My grandmother was right. Imperfection is where it's at. And that story was from Britt Marling, as told to Simone Kitchens, again of the April 2017 Glamour magazine. All right, we are on to what happened on this day today. All right, we have a few things that happened today. And one thing that happened today is in 1667, the English poet John Milton, who was by that point in his life blind and impoverished, sold the copyright of his famous epic poem, Paradise Lost. He sold it for £10. The other thing that happened on this day, which is April 27th, in 1810, Ludwig van Beethoven composed his famous piece, Fidelis. And in 1865, Cornell University is chartered. Finally, in 2014, April 27th, Ariana Grande's first single from her second debut album, Problem, is released. All right, I have a few quotes for you that I want to leave you with, and they are, how we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. And that's by Annie Dillard. Along those lines, I have something that I came across that I thought was really cool. It says, happiness is in your hands. Life moves pretty quickly these days. We make time for work and other obligations, and that's important. But we forget sometimes that life is not just an obligation. It's an adventure. Each day of the week comes to us with gifts and possibilities in its hands, but because of our routines, we often don't see them or can't reach out to them. In our rush to make a living, we forget to live. There's a quote by Sister Helen Kelly that says, choose life, only that and always, at whatever risk, to let life leak out, to let it wear away by the mere passage of time, to withhold giving and spending it, is to choose nothing. Down deep inside, we all know that life is not a race to be run. It's a journey to be savored every step of the way. Whatever happened to simple pleasures and spontaneous experiences? Where are the little interludes in your day for loving, laughing, loafing, or learning? When did you lose the right to do something wonderful for yourself, your loved ones, or your community? Not just now and then, but every day if you wish. Look around. Life is here, and it is now. We can't let it simply slip away. Possibilities for adventure, beauty, contribution, and goodness are everywhere. And you really can make time for them. Let the ideas of these inspire you. Happiness is always in your hands. And you know, every day at the stroke of midnight, exactly 86,400 seconds of life are deposited into your own personal time account. They are your most valuable possession. How many moments will move you? How many will be memorable? You are the one who ultimately decides how you will spend your time. Each moment is here for you to use and enjoy. And any portion of your time that you neglect to use during any 24-hour period is lost and gone forever. So I have something that I want you to think about. And I'm going to ask some open-ended questions, and you know what that is. That is a question that you have to fill in the answer for. It is not something that is answered by yes or no. And prior to those questions, I'm going to read something to you. There are no have-tos in life. I can't go skydiving. I have to be practical. I can't go to my niece's graduation. I have to work. I can't attend my high school reunion. I have to lose weight. I can't hike Machu Picchu this summer. I have to paint the house. When it comes right down to it, there are very few have-tos in life. You have to be born and you have to die. In between, the rest of your life is pretty much up to you. Why build a prison for yourself with have-tos, can'ts, or they won't let me's? Instead, guide your life with, I can, I want to, I choose to, I can't wait to. So, I want you to think about this. I want you to answer these questions to yourself. I can, what can you do? I want to, what do you want to do? I choose to. What do you choose to do? I can't wait to. What can't you wait to do? Think about these and get going with it. There's a quote by Mary Augustine. She says, "We become happier, much happier, when we realize that life is an opportunity rather than an obligation." And sometimes the easiest things to do are the things that don't cost any money. The little things in life aren't little. Think about these. Sunny Saturdays, a call from an old friend, homemade treats, growing something from seed, cooperation, clean sheets, meals with family, solving a problem, an unexpected package in the mail, feeling appreciated, berry picking, blowing bubbles, teamwork, sudden inspiration, a simple act of kindness, a brisk walk, good news, children's laughter, lemonade stands, long weekends, perfect timing, happy accidents, new possibilities, music playing through an open window, making something from scratch, blue skies, nice neighbors, gratitude, hot coffee on a camping trip, the first true day of spring, a perfect peach, kite flying, fresh bread, going barefoot, a well-earned compliment, surprise parties, making progress, generosity, fresh air, being a part of something good, the smell of an evergreen, deep breaths, total relaxation, bear hugs, picnics, the sound of the ocean, real maple syrup, puppies, grace, getting involved, giving back, holding hands. I could go on and on, but all this is from a wonderful book called How Many Days of the Week Can Be Extraordinary? And it's just a collection of thoughts from different people, and just a really neat book. I'll continue reading from that a little bit each time. Well, that brings us to the end of today's episode of Teen Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Kogal, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.